The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the second final hour of National Intel Report. Chris Steiner, we're here with you. My usual shows here on Republic every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. to noon Central. And I think I incorrectly gave the chat room before the break. It's the Liberation Station .chatango.com. The Liberation Station .chatango.com. That's chatango.com. And I'm just getting into it now. Again, I was in there a little earlier. Didn't see anybody commenting. If you'd like to make a comment on there or the Facebook live feed, then I might read it on the air. Very likely I do, if it's relevant. And if you drop in a link and you want me to read it or reference it on the air, then please describe it in your own words. I don't, often don't have the time to do anything other than show work, so I'm just reading what you feed me there and taking it often at face value, because I know the Republic Broadcasting Network audience is just that honest and helpful in principle and perfectionist. So don't worry if you don't contribute everything you want to, whether it's this or other shows. Just keep calling and set up a track record, build a rapport, a respectful rapport, and hopefully that will carry some weight, as it has for me when calling into talk shows. So they'll let you talk a little bit longer than what they would deem the average anti-vaxxer, I guess. So, I'm getting back to, let's get back to this article in which I'm commenting over at the Wall Street Journal, COVID-19 vaccine study and preventing transmission stalled, by Peter Loftus, December 31st, 2020. And give me just a moment here, folks. I'll go ahead and do that. As queuing up my other clips here, and I have a couple of clips of Deborah Birx coming, a clip of Deborah Birx, and then the Pfizer executive, of course, which many of the audience has already heard, admitting that the COVID shots on October 11th, she admitted in front of the member European Parliament, who was questioning her, that was a Jeanine Small being questioned by MEP Robert Roos, where she admitted COVID shots do not prevent infection. So that's thanks to the hard work of a lot of hardworking researchers, scientists, activists, all of us working together. My commentary continuing on this article is, let me pick up, back up just a sentence or so I can make a complete thought, start backing up to the start of the paragraph. The article says that only prevented are, quote, symptoms like cough and fever, including in severe cases, end quote, which claims are exclusively pharma PR, not independently investigated. Preventing cough and fever, no matter how severe, does not make a vaccine. The article gives no reference supporting the claim that severe cough and fever might be prevented. Per CDC statistics for the students' age groups, the COVID-19 survival rate is from 99.997% for ages 0 to 19 to 99.98% ages 20 to 49. And I think, by the way, those are probably the original alpha strain, the most infectious and harmful. Excluding, of course, the new one from the Boston University, who came up with a hybrid between, so they claim a hybrid between an Omicron strain and alpha strain, increased its infectiousness and brought up the death rate in the humanized rats. So how accurate is that? I don't know, but humanized rats with a supposedly similar immune system to humans had an 80% death rate. So that's the 80% death rate, the worst of both worlds of the alpha strain and the infectious rate of the Omicron strain. Open criminality, open premeditated murder, most likely. And that's why we are here to say never again. The article portrays pharma's pretense of dismay with a pretext of logistical restraint for experimentation on young people who are nearly invincible to COVID-19. Lastly, the article reads, quote, Moderna and Pfizer are planning to conduct their own evaluations of whether their vaccines prevent asymptomatic COVID-19 cases and viral transmission, end quote. And again, asymptomatic transmission is very rare. I don't know if it even exists, so from some studies being within the margin of error. So let's get next to those clips I promised, finish up this little presentation, and then we can take your calls to 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And if that doesn't work for your calling plan, then you can call the troll-free line at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Next, this is Deborah Birks, June 23rd, 2022, says that the vaccine promises were based on hope when she's being questioned by Representative Jim Jordan. That's clip number three. Mike, so when you're ready, please roll that clip.
Evidence that every 4 months, reinfection was occurring in South Africa.
Wow. When the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't transmit it, was that a lie or was that a guess? Or is it the same answer?
I think it was hope that the vaccine would work in that way. And that's why I think scientists and public health leaders always have to be at the table, very clear what we know and what we don't know.
This is important for the country to know. So when I asked the question, when the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't get it, and I asked you if it was a guess or a lie, you said you don't know. You said you think it was hope. So what we do know is it wasn't the truth. So they were either guessing, lying, or hoping, and communicating that information to the citizens of this country.
And there you heard it. That's off of C-SPAN. And with her admitting her negligence or willful criminality, then maybe both in various situations. Who knows? But it needs to be tried. And I think that it's very apparent that when Donald Trump, after Deborah Birx comes out, and she says in her writes in her book that she was engaged in subterfuge, and now that she's admitted that the COVID shots, engaged in subterfuge, try to get things in the White House press releases, putting things down further where she hoped that they wouldn't be read, now that she's admitting that COVID shots don't prevent infection, well, why doesn't Donald Trump say, I was misled by this lady who resigned in shame shortly after Thanksgiving 2021 when she claimed, or was that 2020? I think it was 2021 when she said, "Don't meet with your family this Thanksgiving," and then she promptly went off and was caught with her family after she went on a flight. So that's the kind of people who apparently it seems like they're trying to plead whatever ignorance they can and say, "Be easy on us, please." For future Nuremberg 2.0 type trials. And let's see, the next clip we're going to get to now, the last clip on this presentation is Rob Roos. I mentioned he's the member of European Parliament on October 11th, 2022, during the hearing. Pfizer's president of international development markets, Janine Small, admitted that its vaccine never been tested before its release to the general public on its ability to prevent the transmission of COVID. And let me get ready to play that clip. All right, Mike, when you're ready, please roll that clip.
If you don't get vaccinated, you're antisocial. This is what the Dutch Prime Minister and Health Minister told us. You don't get vaccinated just for yourself, but also for others. You do it for all of society. That's what I said. Today, this turned out to be complete nonsense. In a COVID hearing in the European Parliament, one of the Pfizer directors just admitted to me, at the time of introduction, the vaccine had never been tested on stopping the transmission of the virus. This removes the entire legal basis for the COVID passport. The COVID passport that led to massive institutional discrimination as people lost access to essential parts of society. I find this to be shocking, even criminal. Please watch the video until the end.
Voor u, mevrouw Small, heb ik de volgende vraag waar ik een duidelijk antwoord op wil. And I will speak in English so there are no misunderstandings. Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunisation before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market.
This is scandalous. Millions of people worldwide felt forced to get vaccinated because of the myth that you do it for others. Now, this turned out to be a cheap lie. This should be exposed. Please share this video.
And that's the last piece of data that I have for this presentation. So, folks, I encourage you to take this and let everybody know who might be skeptical that, hey, we didn't know any better when we destroyed your lives, when we ruined so many lives. Loss of people's work ethic, social skills, education, drug abuse, suicides, unemployment, driving. All these interrelated factors driving people with higher rates of unemployment. We've known with a very slight rise of unemployment from many studies that there's a huge rise in the suicide rate within 5 years. All these things that there were studies about and people were warning about, like the Great Barrington Declaration. And no matter how much the babies you call the progressive babies at, community-sponsored stations, I like to call, no matter how much they scream up and down that we didn't know, nobody knew, of course we knew. You know, now we have all this data. I've been saving all this data to be able to say, look, I made a post on this back on December 30th, 2020. That's the majority of this presentation, the last two exhibits, I just tacked on basically essentially everything I posted on Facebook, everything I just went through, almost everything is at my Facebook page on December 30th, 2020 post that I'm going to have to make a comment on with this presentation once I'm done, so folks know that it's a little bit outdated. But just to show that, yeah, this has been out there. This is where I've been. This is what I've been sharing around, and can show where I've shared it around. It shows I've called into. I can look at my call logs on my phone and correlate that to be able to say, hey, I called in on such and such date, and this is what I told you, because I can look at my notes and say, and remember, I don't have to go from memory. I can say, this is exactly what I told you, and I'm sorry, but you're not going to get the trust that your lockdown proponents want, your pro-mask mandate, your mask mandate proponents want, when we knew everything, and we knew lockdowns had never been tried before. I don't want to live in a society where folks just resign all their rights. They don't value their rights more than they fear the government, fear the virus, what the government tells you them to be afraid of. They don't want to not live in a prison society. And they don't ask for a warrant, so they don't ask for due process. Seventh Amendment, 14th Amendment requires due process, or Seventh Amendment jury trial for being deprived of your right to life, liberty, or property. Not even epidemiological data, which has the chance of being cooked. So some people do ask for that, but a lot of people just don't ask for the data on which the lockdowns are based or when lockdowns will be lifted. It's all arbitrary. People going along with that, I'm not okay with. So that's why I'm doing this presentation. That's why I encourage you folks to call in to talk shows and look up community-sponsored stations or community stations for your area, for your state, because those are the progressive liberal ones. And get this information out. I've been glad to. I'm not going to give too much on this show on some victories, but victories I have in persuasion. But the point is that I'm not interested in persuasion. I'm interested in the audience hearing. And if they cut me off prematurely, that's a badge of honor. I know there are bullies out there who will revel in somebody getting cut off by some talk show tough guy. But, if someone is going to portray you as a bad guy and not let you speak, that automatically makes them the bad guy, and only a bully would disagree. So that tends to be the radical reactionaries. They're probably not able to get along with other people anyway, so they don't make much of a difference. They're not very effective at the most valuable art and practice of public speaking, of writing, or of otherwise expressing themselves. And, if you want to branch out from your state, call in community-sponsored stations in other states. And if you feel frustrated that you didn't get to say everything that you wanted to say on one show, then call into another and then another until you feel satisfied in your job as a fallacy assassin. I know a lot of the audience doesn't like hearing what I have to say, and I know at least that they've misplaced their anger. But that at least should make my calls all that much more memorable. And I know the COVID shots means that if they've gotten a COVID shot, they're a lot less likely to be healthy, less ability to focus, poor memory, probably more angry, frustrated, unfortunately. But also they're likely starting to doubt their own judgment, which might just be the reason that you're there to tell them that's the right thing to do. Don't trust your judgment because you've been wrong. Admit that you've been wrong. Don't die a fool. A lot of people, and I've seen it in my own family, they'd rather die than admit that they're fools. But you can offer them solutions, offer them, now that they can start looking up to us as more health involved, more educated, more skeptical, we can offer them some solutions, like telling them to get a check of their CD4, CD8 lymphocyte cells to see if they're dropping, which would mean a lowering immune system, check their blood viscosity, go get a D-dimer test, which tests for the microcirculation clots, were less expensive, but I've heard just as accurate is a fibrinogen test. But if you can get the D-dimer, I guess I would want to get that. Fibrinogen, by the way, is a measure of the fibrin that comprises most of that blood clot, the coagulated blood, red blood cells that comprise the blood clots. And also get a troponin test, because a lot of people are subclinical myocarditis patients, meaning they don't know that they are suffering from myocarditis, or they might have had a mildly elevated troponin level. They went into the emergency room, from what I hear Dr. Peter McCullough and others saying. They go in, they have a mild case, so they're not at a huge threat in the future of dying from overexertion, dying of a heart attack. But if you have elevated troponin, it's a serious deal. There's really no mild case of myocarditis with elevated troponin, from what I hear them saying. So get those tests, and maybe serapeptase is another serapeptase, or these protein digesting enzymes. I'm trying to think of the natokinase was the one. Okay, Mike, I got your message. Natokinase is sold in fibrinolytic units, or FUs. That stands for fibrinolytic units, meaning fibrin digesting units. And I think Swanson Vitamins has the best deal on that. If you want to email me at liberationstation@protonmail.com, I'll send you the link to that particular product. I don't have any favorites based on anything other than that, other than the price. So I can send you that. And from what I've heard from Dr. Jared Roscoe, who's been a guest on my show twice, to take 20,000 to 25,000, or sometimes even more, FUs, or fibrinolytic units, per day to prevent blood clot or break down a blood clot. And folks, you need to also be aware that if you have a blood disorder, as it says, as it warns on the label, to not take it. So you take your life in your own hands when you're breaking up a blood clot, although it could be good as preventative. I'm afraid of baby aspirins causing liver problems or other issues. But if you take a protein digesting enzyme like natokinase, I think it's a good preventative. And these are just some tips. So keep up your antioxidant levels. That's another huge deal to prevent spike protein damage, from what I've also heard. So these are all solutions that people, you know, once they start experiencing symptoms and they're willing to admit to themselves that it might be from the COVID shot, or it is from the COVID shot, then they're more open to this information. You know, at least you can tell them that there's some things you can take if you're ever interested. I'll be glad to pass it on to you. Then they can let that stick in their mind and ruminate around, and maybe they won't ever admit it was a COVID shot, but they might find the solution without admitting to themselves, and that's a victory in itself. They get to experience what it feels like to be well, if they're ever wondering whether they were unwell in the first place. All right, before I get into the next clip, if you'd like to call in on this or any other topic, anything in the news. I've been paying a lot of attention to the elections. Yes, there's election fraud all over the place. You can comment on that. I didn't plan to cover it, but I will if you want to call in and talk about it. If I have something relevant, I'll chip in. But, I really wanted to try to cement the ideology that I think was shown in these elections, the ideology of the people, that we will not keep putting up with these lockdowns and these mandates and this coercion, these requirements. I think that's why I'm still covering COVID. And there is a lot of news going on in regards to that. But, while they cry, I'm sorry, we didn't know. While they plead ignorance, they are implementing their policies like Assembly Bill 2098 in California. The Governor Newsom passed September 28th at prevents doctors from giving anything but the government line on COVID. I mean, why isn't that the case for any other shot, any other treatment? And if you go in, as Dr. Peter McCullough often makes the point on his podcast and elsewhere, is that if I had an experimental treatment as a doctor, and I even suggested to you that maybe you should participate in my clinical trial, you'd be brought up before the board and probably have your license taken away. So how come the reverse is now true, is what I'm asking here in California, with AB 2098 passing. Of course, it's being challenged in court. Childrenshealthdefense.org at the Defender magazine is covering that. Childrenshealthdefense.org/defender. Folks want to check that out. So, yeah, there are victories, and I want folks to relish the victory in the admission that I mentioned earlier, is that the article from the Atlantic magazine and Bloomberg News. That let me see if I might be able to put those up on the screen. Them saying that they didn't know better, they're not admitting to anything particular, so they don't deserve our forgiveness or trust, or, well, at least not if you're a spiritual person, not the trust. But I find that I've long ago forgiven somebody if I'm fighting them, if I try to forgive them, if they, every new stupid thing that they do, I'll try to see from their psychopathic level that their whole, that from their perspective, their whole world would be lost. They're acting frantically. Their whole world would be lost if they were to lose power, lose trust, lose face. That's why Fauci's resigning while the getting's good. Francis Collins resigned December 2021, last year, almost a year ago now. Francis Collins, former head of the NIH. So that's why I'm just trying to play on all the admissions and confessions of Walensky and Fauci saying we didn't know better, and Fauci saying that we sometimes you have to do draconian things. I'm not going to get those articles up here, those Atlantic. I don't think I'm going to be able to get those up here right now. But maybe after the break, yeah, I'll get them up after the break here. And we don't have time for starting this next clip, I don't think. So, we have a call. All right, well, let's start out with good timing now. We'll start out with you, Dave, in New York, and carry you through the break. What's on your mind, Dave?
Hey, Chris, good evening. What's on my mind is... When I run into people on the street and talk to them, and some of these people are really on the liberal bend of things, and they have certain ideas, I think what we have in the country is two separate mindsets, at least, that don't want to discuss things and get together and try to find out what the truth is. And, for example, I had some discussions with some folks which... Who were of a little higher accomplishment in life, and they're both doing vaccine trials and things. And I said to the lady, I said, listen, what we really need to look at with this, because she was totally unaware of all the various deaths and things like this, and even that, honestly, the various deaths have been at 31,000 for a year now, and certain people have reported that they're pulling down deaths. You know, I think, have you seen that, Chris? Somebody reported on
that. Yeah, they've been doing that for, I know, over a year.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was just pointing out to her that the deaths are probably, you know, increasing. I'll talk to you after the break.
All right,
but
well, that's
on Dave.
I think
we need a dialogue with these people where we look at all the evidence and be open to evaluate.
Well, we'll try. Hold on, Dave. We'll be right back. Last half hour of National Intel Report. Chris Steiner here with you. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back here, Chris Steiner with you. In that last half hour of National Intel Report, my site is theliberationstation.com. And speaking with Dave in New York in just a moment, Dave, I'll get back to you. Just wanted to mention these articles for the sake of folks being able to mention them when they call in to talk shows, as I mentioned earlier, and reference them heavily. Make sure that you put out there that, look, these are the progressives admitting that they were wrong. And the last lie to debunk is they didn't know any better. And, of course, they did. I covered in the last hour and in the second hour this article from Atlantic Magazine, October 31st, 2022. Let's declare a pandemic amnesty. Let's focus on the future and fix the problems we still need to solve, by Emily Oster. And the Bloomberg article is how to move on from the debate over the origins of the pandemic quote, you're not going to find the smoking gun, end quote. Protecting humanity from the next pandemic means accepting both sides of the controversy by Riley Griffin. And, of course, they don't want us to ask these questions. Maybe Rand Paul will do more than he has in the past now that he's been reelected. Maybe he'll follow through with criminal referrals. And I thought he promised to, and I thought he had, but he didn't. Maybe he'll be a little more secure, but the origins of the virus, I think being in Wuhan and trying Fauci after he leaves office will be a good spectacle to have him testify after he's left office, hopefully. Rand Paul's good at making him squirm. All right, Dave, so did you want to comment on that or pick up where you left off? You have Dave on the line? Okay, I don't hear anything. Should be.
How good is?
Here you are, Dave. Go right. I can hear you now. Start over. Hear nothing. I'm not hearing Dave. So, Dave, call back if you like, or unless you want to try. Now I hear you. Get off the speakerphone if you are. All right. Well, Mike, we'll just move on. Dave, if you want to call back and comment. All right. Hung up. After we could hear him. Yeah, Mike. I don't know what happened there at the end there. Could hear you for a split second. So let's get on to... I guess I want to respond. Oh, he's back. Okay. All right, he's back. All right, Dave, you there?
Yeah, Mike said I was very low for some reason.
Can you hear me? You're good now.
Okay.
Yeah,
what I feel, there's a great divide on many issues with people throughout the country, and I think we need to look at opportunities to find common ground with people. And regarding the vaccine, I was finding it with this woman who had reported to a CEO of a company. She was high up. People are not stupid. But I said, well, we need to look at the pros and the cons, the pluses and the minuses, and find out if there's, what the effect was. Was it net good or bad for the vaccine, for example? And another fellow I was talking to today from city out west where they rioted, the very liberal city, although he'd been from here, he said that one thing I found in common with him was this: why didn't they isolate the people who were highly at risk? Why did everybody need to do all these things? He felt that was very irrational, and I said, yeah, that's what, for example, JFK Jr. said. He just had a little video on Mercola's article today telling a lot of different things. And it's interesting, in that article, it mentioned that 1 in 800 people who got the shot had an adverse reaction, reported adverse reaction, or adverse reaction, I guess. And that's what they're estimating. Well, that's a pretty low number. And so it's understandable for me that many people are saying, well, I don't know anybody who had a problem. And that's what it appears to them. But so I think we need to find common ground and go from there and then be open to their perspective and their data and data that we might have. For example, Paul Merrick, there was a little clip on Rents last night or the night before that he said there were 2,000 peer-reviewed publications, I believe, that showed that the dangers of the spike protein. 2,000 articles. Now, do you think that these people who believe in the vaccine have seen those articles? Any of them?
Not likely.
So, yeah, but they're not going to listen to us if we push our ideas onto them and vice versa. So we just need to find those people who are open to data.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need to find those who are open. Exactly. And, if they, of course, if they give you the time to at least speak, even if they're not open, at least the audience has gotten to hear. So, I want the audience to know what I've said on my show. I'll say it again briefly, is that back on July 4th, the local progressive community-sponsored radio station WMNF has a doctor who has a weekly show, Dr. Fred Harvey, and for the first time, July 4th, he came out against not just the COVID shots, but against the heavy-handed CDC-recommended scheduled childhood vaccines. Just this past Monday, I was considering playing it. Don't have the time, I'm sure, anyway, tonight. When I called in last Monday, I asked him what he thought about getting the COVID shot, what his thoughts of the FDA approval for COVID shots being put on the recommended CDC schedule, and he was totally against it, and he had a good tirade against it. So I think perhaps I had something to do. I hope I had something to do with influencing him by calling him and emailing him over time, despite him being very rude at times. You know, one time I called in and mentioned all these adverse effects on society of the suicides, drug abuse. He shouted at me saying, "Don't you ever call here again and blame government." And he hung up. But that was, I think, the call before his July 4th call. And then I called in and I congratulated him on his change of heart. And I congratulated him on changing his mind. So, you know, these folks, when they do change their mind, they need to be thanked for coming around, reinforced, and welcomed into our arms.
Yeah, well, one of the biggest impacts of the vaccine in a negative way is probably the people who are disabled and unable to work and need to be, and then those who need to be cared for. You know, if they just plain die, it'd be a lot easier. But now they're a burden on society, and so how many of them are there? And I think Ed Dowd said something like 3.3 million were added to the role. I don't know, but a lot were added to the roles of disabled people who couldn't work. And
all the excess deaths, we're going to play a clip here. It's going to be a 9-minute clip, so we have just enough time here on excess deaths from the last edition of The High Wire. Yeah, they keep ramping up. So, yeah, folks, these are other points to make. The progressives, you know, don't you care about the homeless being shuffled away, the criminalization of homelessness and the things that the homeless have to do to live that are criminalized? Well, don't you care about people being the COVID deaths and sufferers being swept under the rugs? Are you going to call them anti-vaxxers? Are you going to hang with the wrong company of the multinational corporations with no allegiance to any country with product liability? That's for mandated product, a product that Biden tried to mandate on companies of 100 or more. So isn't that the definition of fascism, you Antifa? If we can bring up all these things that they're... we can maybe help reform their own organizations from the inside by those who are maybe more principled than the average Antifa, for instance. So I don't know, but these are just points that I try to harp on. That how the progressives have changed, and you know, since 9/11, the deaths. I mean, the all our rights that have we've been stripped of. That the false anthrax attacks that James Corbett covers so well in the Corbett Report, that it was the lame excuse for the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. You can read a lot about that at the AAPSonline.org, American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, that allows the state health director of any state, or the states that have implemented it, they've all implemented it to very varying degrees, and Florida is the worst, according to the AAPS. But it allows the state health director to forcibly quarantine, treat, vaccinate, or actually seize people or pets or their belongings if they're believed to be infected. So that's all a result of 9/11 false anthrax attacks that subsequent to 9/11, that were false flagged, most definitely, as James Corbett covers. So these are all things that I try to bring back to their memory. Your party or your progressive group, even your communists, aren't addressing these things that are a threat to life itself here on Earth, our entire genetic sequence. All right, Dave. Well, Chris, I got to let you go. Let's get a few seconds.
We need to dialogue with people. That's what we need to do to fix our society. That's what I'm saying.
Right on. Keep on talking, like the Pink Floyd song goes. Keep talking. All right. Thanks, Dave. And then we'll get to the next clip, clip number five. This is the High Wire with Del Bigtree. This is just a 9-minute clip of Jeffrey Jackson's weekly appearance, and this will save me from playing it on my Sunday show as well. So I thought I had it here in just a second here. Mike there in the control room. I have a problem with my computer. Give me just a few more seconds, and I'll get to that clip. All right, Mike, thanks. Yeah, I got to just cue it up to where you have it. I had it here in a window, and sorry, folks, this will be about 10 more seconds, and I can cue this up to show on the video screen on the Facebook live stream, facebook.com/WeAreChangeTampa and facebook.com/Republic Broadcasting. Facebook.com/Republic Broadcasting. Let me give a few more seconds there, Mike. Okay, Mike, whenever you're ready, please roll that clip.
But if you're over in the UK, if you're over in the European Union, there is one thing that you are doing over there, or your media is doing, that is not happening here in the United States, and that is reporting on excess mortality after the vaccination, the COVID-19 vaccination program has rolled out. So this, you know, we've been covering this story for quite some time now, but this week in this excess mortality news cycle, we have a member of parliament in the UK has spoken out. He's a conservative member of the parliament, Andrew Bridgen, and this is what he had to say. Take a listen.
The excess deaths we're suffering at the moment in this country, across Europe and in the Americas. What analysis is the government making of these excess deaths? But even a casual glance at the data shows that there's a very strong correlation between vaccine uptake and the level of excess deaths being found in that country. Surely we must have an investigation. These are tens of thousands of people who are dying more than we're expected. It's really, really important. And I think if we don't get this right, no one's going to believe we're going to lose trust in politicians, and we're going to lose trust in our medicine and our medical system.
These statements are amazing when we see them, Jeffrey, coming from politicians. Again, that's sort of like the Ron Johnson there in England. These people, we watch the European Union making similar statements. The cat is clearly out of the bag.
Yeah, and you know, I was watching this run-up to the midterms, and hats off to everybody that had some courageous talking points, but I didn't see one person bring this up. Not one person. Not one person in office currently. This is not a talking point that has really taken over, and it should have, in the United States. And what's interesting on a side note on this, Andrew Bridgen faced a suspension over a separate issue after he spoke out, over lobbying breaches here. So that's just a side note to this. It's kind of interesting, the timing on that. But let's look at the headlines. These are the headlines. This was in August. This is when some of the reporting really started going mainstream. This was out of the silent crisis of soaring excess deaths gripping Britain is only the tip of the iceberg. And it says Britain is in the grip of a new silent health crisis. For 14 of the past 15 weeks, England and Wales have averaged around 1,000 extra deaths each week, none of which are due to COVID. If the current trajectory continues, the number of non-COVID excess deaths will soon outstrip deaths from the virus this year and be even more deadly than the Omicron wave. Unfortunately, that has already happened now. So now we fast forward to current headlines. Let's look at what they have to say. This is the headline. Crisis as excess deaths soar to levels higher than during COVID pandemic. It says there have been 18,734 deaths due to COVID this year, but since May, there have been 24,440 deaths where the primary cause was another condition. Over the past 6 months, non-COVID excess deaths have been running at three times the rate of COVID deaths. And understand, we locked down the country. We locked down the world. And we can't even get an investigation with excess deaths compared to what happened during the COVID response.
Amazing.
So let's go over now and look at some of the actual raw numbers and the graphs. So the European mortality monitoring, it's called Euromomo. It looks at 26 participating countries in this graph. And it's cumulative excess mortality. We're looking at ages 0 to over 85. And this is the most recent one. It's up to November 6th. It's week 44. And you can see here the baseline dotted line at the bottom. That's your baseline. 2020 is the gray line, and you can see it jumps up there after week 10. 2021 is the dark blue line, and then we have 2022 is the light blue line. And you can see around week 30 at the bottom there, that blue line has divorced itself from the other two lines and have risen above it. So that's where we have, obviously, we have a signal here, a big time problem. Now, this is all ages. So one of the most
concerned people that sometimes when we look at these graphs and if we haven't been in, you know, math class or, you know, physics or something for a while, just look at that left axis, everybody, as we're looking at. Those are hundreds of thousands. So though that may seem like, well, it's pretty close, we're talking about a rise of tens of thousands of deaths during those time periods that is putting that light blue line. And remember, there's multiple things we should be thinking about here. If the vaccine worked at all, the line should be going down since we came through what was supposed to have been a deadly pandemic. I mean, even if you didn't vaccinate everybody, just 50% or 30%, we should have seen that effect that the vaccine actually saved some lives. So there's no way you can make the statement that the vaccine has somehow curbed death when we are watching this virus disappear into our rearview mirror, at least in its severity for the time being, and yet the death rate is continuing to soar and go even higher. Folks, you know, we have a problem.
Right, and that was all ages. So now let's dig into one of the most concerning age groups, which is 0 to 14. 0 to 14-year-olds in this Euromomo data shows a gigantic rise.
Wow.
Again, you're going to want to focus on the light blue line. That's this year, 2022. And you can see here, it just takes off like a meteor right after week 20, and off it goes. Right. And it's blown away anything we saw in 2020 and 2021. So someone has to
explain. Here, we're not hundreds of thousands now before everyone like really loses. We look at your left axis, again, excess deaths. But it is really shocking. Just look at 2020 when there was no vaccine. When we talk about the fact that there was no risk to children from COVID, you can see it is really close to the baseline all the way through there, even 2021. But you start giving this vaccine out, and then all of a sudden you're recommending it for kids. And what happens? Suddenly the kids go off the Richter scale. I mean, people can say it's anecdotal, but someone has got to explain what else happened during 2022 that would have shifted the death rate of kids. What else is out there? Did a hole open up the ground and a brand new virus we've never heard of show up? No.
Right, exactly. And one of the countries that is not included in these charts specifically is Germany. So I went over to the information from the Federal Republic of Germany, and this is from the website here, and you can see a similar trend. Now, for here, you have 2019, 2020, 2021, and then that purplish line is 2022. And again, same trend. You see that purplish line really taking off. It divorces itself around July, and that, again, the y-axis, now we're tens of thousands over there. But you see a huge jump there. And almost every year, 2019 is that green line. You can see that baseline is long gone. Those days are gone, apparently. But this year, again, we have excess mortality yearly, all causes, and this is what's happening. And that is another graph. It just corroborates the data from Euromomo as well. And this is why these are in the headlines. This information is in the headlines. And there's a lot of scratching of the heads. Well, is it, we had the lockdown, we opened back up. Is it the rush to people not taking care of themselves, not taking care of their cancers mm-hmm. or their heart attacks? I mean, people don't really know. They're just kind of speculating at this point because there's been no investigation.
And we keep talking about it. Look, all of that should be on the table. Obviously, good science does not just project what it thinks may be the issue. But what is so disturbing in most of these articles and most of these investigations around the world, they're throwing in lockdowns, they're throwing in masks as possible reasons for this. They're throwing in the fact that there's not enough ambulances or people aren't being picked up or they didn't get their diabetes medication during COVID or they didn't go in for their cancer checkup. But with all of that, what should be on the table, what we're not hearing about is this totally experimental product that jumped out of its safety trials that we only know in the animal trials before rushing out to human beings, you know, was killing animals in the animal trials, seriously problematic product, to the fact that we even watched, you know, our own scientists step before the Congress and say we shouldn't rush this vaccine out. That didn't matter to anybody. So given all of those concerns, knowing that it causes anaphylaxis, knowing that it causes heart swelling, knowing that it causes blood clots and thrombocytopenia, none of this this. None of this is refuted by anybody, yet no one in media will say, shouldn't we be looking at the vaccines as a potential reason for this rise in death? And bring up that last German graph again, because I just want to make sure. I know we have a lot of new people that are watching and aren't used to being showed evidence on the news. This is how we do it here. That purple line, look at right at September, it breaks free of everything else. That means if you look at all those years, all the way back to 2015, the last 7 years in September, this death rate in Germany goes higher than it's ever been in September since 2015 and probably before. And it's continuing to rise. If it continues to rise at that rate, it's going to outpace 2021. It is skyrocketing, folks, and it should be like nothing short of terrifying under the circumstances, especially when you have governments not looking at the one obvious thing that had shifted in the lives of humanity across the world.
And that was the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree yesterday, November 10th, 2022. Just wanted to play that clip, and they get into a little bit later. We don't have the time to play recent research on ivermectin possibly being helpful for RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus that is the new lame excuse for wearing a mask for many folks. So check that out. And also they play a lot of news clips like Rachel Maddow and Fauci and others bad-mouthing ivermectin, defaming it. Of course, check out Dr. Meryl Nass's Substack, her article on how those studies on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were cooked to use too high a dose to cause adverse events and death. Also, check out the last edition of the McCullough Report at AmericaOutloud.com. He just interviewed a doctor who is finding a difference in the various COVID shots, how there are batches that are far more deadly than others. Interview with Alexandria Sasha Lachipova. Actually, she's an MBA, former pharmaceutical executive, independent analyst, who writes for Trial Site News. And the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, the government's CDC-run database, is showing that after the COVID-19 shots, adverse events are not randomly distributed according to manufacturing lots as they are with influenza vaccines. Instead, they are exaggerated in specific hot lots. And I know a lot of folks know to check howbadismybatch.com, I think, or howbad.info, howbadismybatch.com. I think that just came to mind, so... Yes, how bad is my batch? And you can find if your lot number is traceable. Also, when it comes to masks, I'll just mention briefly this article over at Mercola. Joseph Mercola writes about titanium dioxide being found in 12 different masks. It's entitled "Scientists Study 12 Masks Everyone Contained This Cancer-Causing Compound" from November 3rd. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Thanks for expressing yourselves in any which way, even if it's sitting in silence in the natural radiance of your own soul, sending out good vibes to your environment and throughout creation. I'm Chris Steiner. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on my show here on Republic. Take great care.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.